Hello, everybody, and welcome to our first ever episode of MLB DFS Today. I'm going to be your host. I am Keith Cork, and I am being joined here by our MLB DFS champion over at Sports Ethos, our guy that leads the division at this point, Mr. Tim Morse. Tim has been with us just for a couple months now, a month or two here, just helping us with the MLB DFS stuff, and man, been really impressed with the stuff he's been putting out there. You guys should definitely follow him on Twitter. But Tim, it is great to finally get to speak with you on a pod and introduce you to the people, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, let's do it.
So, yeah, I know we're talking about some MLB DFS, but first I want to just have people know a little bit more about you. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, have you been a baseball fan all your life, or is this, just something you picked up as a hobby?
I'm from L.A., born and raised, Dodger fan my whole life. I guess in the past 2 or 3 years, or since Frank McCourt sold the team, I've gone way deeper into the baseball world, been to a lot more games. I follow every team in the league now. I mean, with gambling and DFS, you just kind of have to follow as much as you can when you can. So I got like 4 to 5 games going every night. I watch as much as I can. So
big fan here. Yeah, I like it, man. I remember when I was a kid, I used to like listen to every single Cubs game on the radio. I don't know if people even do that anymore. I guess baseball's a good one to listen to on the radio. You don't have to watch it, but obviously you catch a lot more if you watch it on TV. But I would every Cubs game, and then I would also follow the Cardinals and the Brewers just because they're in the same division. So I was big on that. But it's been a while for me. I will be the first to admit that I don't follow baseball as closely as I should anymore. But I'm excited to have Tim here to kind of fill in those gaps for me, man. And so Tim, I know we're going to talk here about just kind of our four game here turbo slate, right? Starts at 1:10. It looks like 1:10 my time would be 11:10. AM Pacific time, which would be your time. So we're looking at the turbo slate that starts with the Royals and the White Sox. So I mean, talk to me, man. Let's talk about that first game there, Royals White Sox. We do have kind of some lines here. Obviously we don't have a final decision yet in the starting pitcher for the Royals, but we do have the White Sox favored in this game with the money line at -175. And then we've also got a run total of 9.5. So a pretty high run total there as well. So talk to me about this game, man. Who are you liking here? What are you, what's your angles?
Yeah, well, one of the reasons I chose this slate over the morning slate or the night slate is because of this game and because of Lance Lynn on the mound, who has not been that good this year, but his last start, he went 6 scoreless. And the Royals have given some pitchers new life this season. In Saturday's game versus Lucas Giolito, who also has not been very good this year. Giolito went 6, struck out 4, only gave up 1 run. You might remember a week ago, Michael Wacha for the Padres almost no hit them. He went 7, gave up 1 hit, struck out 11. On the 19th in this same series versus the White Sox, Michael Kopech went 8 innings and 1 hit them and got 10 Ks. So I feel like this is a great opportunity for Lance Lynn to kind of put the hurt on the Royals and fall back into his previous form.
I like it, man. So kind of a struggling pitcher here at the gate, but he's getting a juicy matchup here. So I like that angle a whole lot. Do you think that, we're talking about DFS, and for me, I like to play a lot of GPP, so I like to think about what the field's going to do. Is he going to have high ownership on this 4-game slate, or do you think people are going to be fading him because of his early season struggles?
I don't think people will play him. I mean, you're looking at Kershaw on the mound, Framber Valdez is going, so you got 2 locked-on aces going, so people might not look his direction, but he's like 2 or 3 grand, this is on DraftKings, cheaper than Valdez and Kershaw. So with that extra 2K, you can get somebody else in the alpha. You can get maybe Mookie or Yordan Alvarez, maybe both of them if you have Lance Lynn.
I like it, man. Yeah. Yeah, it looks like he's the third cheapest starting pitcher on the slate. So I like that as kind of a a low-owned guy, lower-owned guy that that shouldn't be able to return some value for you. So I like that call a lot. Are there any hitters? I mean, there's a 9.5 run total here. Seems like it might be a high-scoring game. So are you looking at any of the hitters here?
Yeah, I mean, Lewis Robert is one of the hottest guys in the league in the last 2 weeks. He's got five homers. He's got five doubles. And for people that might not know, a double is worth 5 points. A single is only worth 3. So you want to target guys that get extra base hits. So he had 5 doubles and 5 homers in the last 2 weeks. So that's 10 extra base hits there. You get 14 for a homer. So, I mean, you want to target guys with big power, of course, but also guys that are hot. Lewis Robert is 5th in the league in total bases this year with 95. So a total base is a base that you get by hitting. If you get walked, you don't get a base. Yeah, right. Gamblers definitely know this.
Yes.
But we've all been burned. Okay. We're like, yeah. One total base, he gets walked. But yeah, that doesn't count. But yeah. So Robert is 5th in the majors with 95, which is great on a team that struggled to start the season, but he's really picked it up. Tim Anderson was out. Yoan Moncada was out. So Robert is kind of the heart of this White Sox lineup.
I like it, man. So he's kind of the slugger there that we're kind of locking in this Royals-White Sox matchup. Again, high game total. Is there anyone else that you're looking at here to kind of back that up? Are you looking to stack some White Sox here?
There's one in particular, Jake Berger, who's the third baseman, sometimes DHs. He's at 3,000 on DraftKings, and he's got double-digit homers this year and only 89 at-bats. So he's got 10. He's the only player with less than 100 at-bats who has a double-digit home run total this year. He got 3 RBIs on Saturday in this same series, so he's hot and he's cheap. So I like the stack there.
Yeah, definitely. We don't want to play against our pitcher, obviously, so we're probably not looking at a whole lot of Royals, if any. But yeah, I like those two White Sox you called out, even though I'm a Cubs fan. We'll go ahead and rock with the White Sox. Sure, let's go with it. No big deal. But yeah, so I did have a question, though, because, you know, obviously I'm more of an NBA DFS guy. So maybe some of the other listeners out there that are kind of in my lane where we kind of just play casually might have this question. But you're talking about, you know, a guy getting hot and a guy maybe getting cold. You know, is that something you see a lot in baseball where if a guy is hitting it very well, that's, you know, kind of like you kind of can almost set your watch to it. I mean, I know baseball's kind of it's very up and down, right?
There's a lot streaky, of variance for there. Sure. Streaky, yeah. For sure. But you see that. I mean, you've seen Aaron Judge. He's got 7 home runs in 7 days. Nolan Arenado had 5 home runs in a row. I mean,
seeing the ball well.
Exactly. If you've heard that term, he's seeing the ball well, that's exactly what baseball. You're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. So, you know. But yeah, I mean, if a guy is much more likely to hit it when he's hitting, basically. Yeah. I mean, to put it frankly. So, yeah, I mean, you'll see guys that are cold go off, and maybe you'll get lucky, but you're much better off taking a guy that's hot. And in, like, Berger's case or Robert's case, they're cheap compared to the other guys who are in that production range for the last, like, week or two, but way higher in price.
Nice. I like that, man. That's good to know. I'm going to file that away in the old DFS brain. Yeah, if you guys don't know out there, I was an over 300 batter, so, like, don't mess with me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was batting cleanup. Like, come on now. I never hit a home run. That's kind of funny. I always got doubles. Anyways, moving on. Looks like we have Oakland, the Athletics, and the Houston Astros here starting at the same time. Looks like all these games pretty much start at the same time. A little bit of a variation there, but Athletics at Astros, it looks like. And let's see, for lines for that game, I have to reconnect because it's right there where my thing is. It says, please reconnect. So just bear with me here 1 second, everybody. Looks like we do have the Houston Astros heavily favored in this game, -322 right now. Open at -325 for the money line there. I've been betting the Athletics. I don't know if you guys know out there, part of the Wager Pass. If you don't have the Wager Pass, go to sportsethos.com, sign up and get that Wager Pass. It is absolutely going to pay for itself within probably the first month that you have it, unless we go on a cold streak, which we always could do. But you guys should go there. You should sign up. But I've been playing this little system we were talking about right before we came on, Tim, where I'm playing kind of dogs, and the Athletics always seem to pop up just because they're always such huge odds. And for me, when you're talking about, when we're talking about like your return on your investment and having to you know, wager less stake to get a big return, we're talking about like, I mean, here they're probably a plus 250 or 260 again, but they're usually in that range, 250 to 280. Just no one thinks they're going to win this game. So I have to imagine you're probably in that same ball, the same camp there, that we're kind of fading the Athletics at this point, or are you end up, you look at some Athletics here?
Yeah, well, I will be stacking the Astros against the Athletics, but I mean, part of the reason is because Oakland has the worst team ERA right now at 7+. So that means that they have to score runs to stay in these contests. I mean, I think they've only won like some 11, 12 games on the whole season, but they have the OPS leader in Brent Rooker, and they have the stolen base leader in Estuary Ruiz. And, I mean, they have guys that are worth playing, but one of the reasons the money line is so big for Houston is because Framber Valdez is going, he's the number one guy right now, and he's been a little inconsistent. His ERA is decent, 284, but he's got four losses on the year. He's actually 3-4. They just got Altuve back, so that should help them. I would caution riding Oakland for the Sunday game.
I always play it for a small amount, but yeah.
I mean, the guy they're throwing out there, James Caprillion, has a 10.17 ERA, and that he's been better in his last few starts. But I mean, even if they go to the bullpen, like I said, they have the worst ERA in the majors. So, so yeah, that's why I will be stacking Astros. Yeah. But I like the A's. They got a lot of exciting players that I'm sure will be picked off by other teams.
That's probably going to happen. No doubt about that.
Definitely will happen.
But it sounds like we're probably looking at, a lot of ownership, pretty high ownership for these guys. So I know you mentioned a few guys there, like Altuve is back in the lineup. Obviously, I see him there at 5,200. But are there some maybe under the radar guys in the Astros you're looking at that, might not be so heavily owned?
I don't know about under the radar. I mean, I'll probably be playing Yordan Alvarez, who, for how productive he's been, I mean, he was out for a little bit, but he's kind of under the radar in terms of being considered one of the top guys this year. But even with that, he's still third in RBIs with 41. He only has 10 home runs on the year, but I expect that number to pick up. He's just one of the best hitters in the game. Some guy I might consider is Kyle Tucker as well, if I do a Houston stack with outfielders. Because I find value in the infielders more than the outfielders, so I want to play some of the higher-priced guys in the outfield. And because of the matchup with the A's, I'll probably be playing Kyle Tucker and Yordan together. I'll probably stay away from Altuve at this point, because it's just too early. He was like 0-5 in his first game back. So I'll give him a few games to get settled. But yeah, I mean, if you're looking for value, there's Corey Jolks there, who's, I think, like 2,500 range, who has a chance to hit in some runs. He's in this lineup, which is a lot more dangerous with Altuve in it. But yeah, I mean, that's I'll probably go with some of the higher priced guys. Their lineup is kind of shallow.
Okay.
There's only really three productive guys in this lineup this season. So.
All right. Well, we'll go ahead and stack those Houston Astros. You guys should absolutely feel comfortable doing that. My guy Tim knows what he's talking about. Next game we got here is the Dodgers against the St. Louis Cardinals. Sorry about that, everybody. Dodgers against the St. Louis Cardinals, and they're at the Cardinals. And these are your Dodgers, so you should know a thing or two about them. And as you said, Clayton Kershaw on the mound, so obviously big ace there. So it does look like the money line's been moving from 151, minus 151 in favor of the Dodgers to minus 144. So it looks like it's moving actually in the direction of the Cardinals a little bit, not too much. And then we've got a run total here of 8.5. So 8.5 run total, pretty standard, I would say. You see that a whole lot. don't see a whole lot of variation there. I would say maybe 9 or above would be high, and then kind of 7.5 or lower would be low. But 8.5 are usually the most you see out there. But talk to me about this game, man. What do you like here? What are you seeing?
Well, it's kind of hard to predict what kind of Kershaw we're going to get out there. The last start he made was like 2 or 3 days after it was announced that his mom had passed. So I don't think he was in the right headspace. So if we take that game out, the game before that, he was excellent in Milwaukee, another NL Central foe. But this is kind of a tricky spot for Kersh because he's faced the Cardinals batters before. He's got some history with them. You're looking at a guy like Nolan Arenado, who in 25 games versus Kershaw has 5 homers, a .300 batting average. Goldschmidt's got 3 homers off Kershaw. Wilson Contreras has 2. So these guys have seen Kersh. It's just, if you think the Cardinals will get to Kersh, then there's a lot of good value in their lineup. I mean, you're looking at Paul DeJong, who's under 3K. Nolan Gorman has been tearing it up. So you can stack Cardinals against Kershaw. I have a hard time doing that because, you know, he's my ace. He's my number one. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of potential for offense for this Cardinals team, who has the highest amount of runs in May. So, I mean, some of that is skewed by some big games. They scored 18 runs 2 games ago off the Dodgers. And that was the Julio game, sent Julio to the IL. Dustin May's on the IL. Tony Gonsolin just came back. So Kershaw's really the only guy right now for the Dodgers. So me and other Dodger fans will be hoping that we get good Kersh, but it's up in the air whether that will happen. But if I could just talk about the Dodger side of it. The Dodgers guys have also some history with Jack Flaherty. Mookie, Freddie, Hayward, Chris Taylor have all homered off him. Freddie Freeman is having an amazing year. He's second in the doubles. He's second in doubles in all of the majors with 17. He's second in total bases. We talked about that with Luis Robert. Freeman is actually second with 103, 4 behind Acuna, who has 107. So, I mean, Freeman is kind of flying under the radar in terms of people talking about it, because everyone wants to talk about Mookie. Muncy was leading the league in homers, but Freeman has really been the engine that's kept the Dodgers offense going and has kept them as like top 5 record in the NL, even though they've had a bunch of injuries. So I'll be playing Freddie at 5,000, which I feel like is a steal because Mookie's 5,800. So I'll be playing Freddie instead of Mookie if it was between the two.
I like it, man. And obviously, you are the guy there that knows that Dodgers roster up and down at the Sports Ethos here. So I trust you on that one, absolutely. I know you're talking a little bit about some of the things that, as you were talking there, I had a kind of question about was like, you know, I know for baseball, a lot of times it does come down to or a lot of people focus on hitters' prior performance against a pitcher. So is that something that you focus on heavily? Is it something that you think is a little bit overvalued? What is your thoughts on that one?
Well, it's hard to use it as like the only thing to go off of course, but when you're talking about a guy with a big history, so like someone with like Nolan Arenado, who played on the Rockies, was in the NL West for years for the first half of his career. You know, he's seen Kershaw a lot. He knows his curve. He knows how Kershaw wants to attack him. So, I mean, you see with analytics, it's like, okay, the first 2 times through the lineup, the pitcher does well. The third time through the lineup, the batter has a lot more experience with what the guy's throwing, how the guy wants to attack him. So just expound that to like 10, 20 games. Mm-hmm. And it's just gives the pitcher a disadvantage. So, of course, the bigger the sample size, the more indicative of what's going to happen. So, I like it more to see if a guy's like homered off somebody, to know that he'll be going into that at bat with confidence. Like, okay, I've found this guy out before. I can do it again. A lot of it is the pitcher going to be on, especially with a guy like Kershaw. Like when he's on, he's untouchable. But when he's off, like it'll be a problem for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good explanation, man. That's perfect. So, but yeah, that is a good thing to a good interesting point there. You know, I kind of think what I take away from that is, you know, if there's a big sample size, obviously, we could do a lot more with that. Small sample sizes, we can kind of just toss that to the side. But I think there is something to that concept of, you know, the more you see a pitcher, the more you know what their stuff looks like. So something to definitely keep in your back pocket there. All right, last game here on the schedule or on the slate here is the Colorado Rockies at the Texas Rangers. And, of course, my thing has failed me once again, but we will go ahead and reload. And let me see what we got here. We've got the Texas Rangers. They started as favorites at minus 205 and slipped even further in their direction at minus 208. So it looks like money might be coming in on the Rangers. We also have a game run total of 9. So 9 for the run total. A little high there. Andrew Heaney on the mound, it looks like. I hope I'm saying that right. And Connor Siebold on the mound for the Rockies. So what do you like in here, man? What are your angles?
Well, I will probably be playing a Texas stack. The Rangers have been really good this year. They have the second highest run differential in the league with plus 98. The Rays are first with plus 126, which is crazy. But Texas, they score a lot of runs. They got big power. They got big money in there. So yeah, they better have big power. But Corey Seager just came back a few days ago. He hit a homer and I think had two more hits on Saturday. So I'll probably be playing him. Adelis Garcia is the RBI leader in the majors. He's been that pretty much all year. I mean, you want to talk about stats that might not be indicative, but just stick out to me. The last three Sundays that Adelis Garcia has played, he's got 8 hits out of 12 at-bats, 7 runs scored, a home run in the last three Sundays, 5 RBIs last Sunday, 3 RBIs the Sunday before that. I mean, I'm not saying that he'll have another big Sunday, but he might just love Sundays. So I'll be playing him. I mean, he's kind of boom or bust, but when he had a 68-point game earlier in the season. So that's just kind of the potential you have there. And with Seager getting back, I mean, you can't really avoid anybody in their lineup. So I'll be playing a Texas stack for sure.
Awesome. Anyone looking on the Rockies?
Not really. I mean, they're kind of Jerkson Profar is okay, but they have a lot of steady guys, but no one really that stands out. Charlie Blackman's been good, but they're just they're priced a little too high for my taste for me to feel comfortable. Cause like guys in the Charlie Blackman range, you're talking about like Luis Robert or even Adelis Garcia, who's only 5,000 compared to Blackman, who's like 1,000 less than that, maybe in that range. So I'd rather put that money towards somebody who's going to have a bigger day. Like Blackman might be steadier, but I like the Texas team a lot more than the Rockies team.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
Fair enough. Well, that's all 4 games here, guys. I'm going to ask you those some just kind of general questions here before we go, Tim. But just so you guys know out there, anyone listening, as I always say for these pods, you know, we're recording the night before. A lot changes between the night before and the first pitch. So you guys do want to tune in, make sure you're keeping on top of, you know, any lineup changes that might happen, any injuries that might pop up, things like that. You know, don't just go into it with the mindset that you're going to lock in stuff the night before and it's just going to happen. If you're playing DFS, you have to pay attention right up to that first pitch. So definitely do that. So this serves as more of like a primer. But, with that being said, Tim, sounds like we're, you know, stacking the Rangers and the Astros pretty hard here. If somebody's in between, you know, a stack on either of those teams, which of those two would you prefer?
I would prefer the Rangers because they have better value guys than the Astros.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking about Leody Tavares, Robbie Grossman, Ezekiel Duran are all under 3K. They all start and they all produce compared to the Astros bottom of their lineup, who, I mean, you'll be lucky to get a hit out of the bottom of their lineup just from how they've performed. Maybe they'll be different now that they're getting whole again, but this Rangers team, like the run differential will tell you, they mash. So I would prefer them.
And it sounds like you're, you know, obviously you're playing that cheap pitcher there in Lynn on the White Sox, but sounds like you're leaning towards maybe Kershaw as your other pitcher. What about your favorite spin up for pitcher there? Is it Kershaw?
Yeah, I can't resist. I mean, especially because
I called it.
Yeah, all the injuries. Because I played Framber Valdez his last start, and he burned me big time. But I mean, before that, he'd been excellent. I think it was against the Angels. He like went seven, gave up maybe one or two hits. But that was when he was going against Shohei. So yeah, the Angels don't like to score runs for Shohei.
I think you'll win on ownership there, because I think people will go to Valdez a lot with them playing against the Athletics. So that's an angle for you guys out there as well. You always want to try to get a little bit of the percentage, especially on these smaller slates. You know, any percentage you can get on the ownership that's lower in your favor, so you have a lower lower owned guy. That is always a good thing. So if you're going Kershaw at 10-2 over Valdez at 10-8, and you end up having, I don't know, we'll say 20% ownership as opposed to 30% ownership, then you're winning that game if Kershaw has a good outing and Valdez does not. So and even if Valdez does have a good one, you're still winning if they're similar, because you have that savings there as well. So, but that's going to do it for us, guys. That is our first ever MLB DFS podcast. I think so. I think actually, well, Joe was doing some before, so maybe not our first ever, but our first ever for this season and with Tim. So, Tim, thanks for coming on with me. I am Keith. You can find me on Twitter, guys, at ethoskeith. I don't have a whole lot of baseball content out there, but I do other sports, and I will have some baseball stuff for sure, so definitely look at that. And, Tim, where can people find you and your work, my friend?
You can find me on Twitter at @MeTimSim. I tweet out threads a few times throughout the week. And then I write a delivery on Sports Ethos that comes out on Friday, Sunday, and Tuesday. There will be one tomorrow for probably the afternoon slate, the 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 Eastern slate, which I think has 4 games as well. So look out for that. Ethos Fantasy Baseball on Twitter. They tweet my stuff out. They do great stuff over there.
Absolutely. Go follow my guy Tim, and absolutely, those threads are gold, man. If you guys aren't following him, you guys are missing out. We are going to try to bring this to you guys every Saturday to cover that Sunday slate from here until hopefully the end of the season. We'll see how that goes. If you are out there and you play MLB DFS and you're listening and you're saying Tim's got it all wrong, come talk to me, and I'd like to talk to you. You can come join our team. We are still getting some people on to do this. I'm just joking about Tim. Tim does great work, but obviously. But we do have room here on the team to grow, so if you guys want to come join this this movement we got going on here, it's a real fun time. So that's it. Until next time, guys, hey, go get that money.